CGA Tour, a podcast unlike any other. Now your host, Calvin Alexander.
Welcome back to the latest episode of the CGA Tour podcast. As always here, I'm your host, Calvin Glenn Alexander. And on tonight's podcast, we're back talking more Oklahoma State sports and other great things. So I'm joined by fellow OSU alum, the initial start to the broadcasting career for me, doing the podcasting and radio career of the longtime co-host of the Calvin Tour Radio Show, is with the long intro here, but still, fellow OSU alum, Trey Florence. Trey, how's it going?
And I'm Trey. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I still have that embedded in me.
Radio show days for some.
You know, not doing too bad. Just crying over my bracket. That's all. That's all. You know, like I'm sure like everybody else at this moment in time.
Yeah. What do you rank in the country? Are you?
What about dead last? I have like a 32% right rate, I guess you could say. At least in our little group, I know I'm eighth. So out of 10. So not doing great.
Been worse.
Better, that's for sure.
That is also true. 1 year you won, not too long.
Yes.
So, yeah. But with that being said, I'm doing all right. I could be doing better as always because I'm 74% of the country. So, bracket busted. I got the email from Yahoo today in that Yahoo group. It's like, your bracket's busted. And I was like, great.
I think they just sent that out way too early because everybody's getting that right now because everybody's bracket is.
We're 4 days in. We're 1 week in. There's still 32 teams left, right? We still got time.
Is your team still like winning team still in?
I think, we got 16 teams left. Excuse me. Yes, I have one bracket I've got Houston and the other bracket I've got UConn. So we're still rocking and rolling here. Yeah, we're doing all right. Could be worse. Could be better. Well, that being said, too. So, basketball. We know Mike Boynton no longer with OSU.
R.I.P.
We know with wrestling, didn't win a national championship for any of the rest. None of the wrestlers won a national championship. We also finished, I think, 10th overall in the country in wrestling.
10th. Yep.
We didn't win the Big 12 in wrestling.
Did beat OU though.
Our seniors this year have beat OU their entire career. They never lost.
Which is great.
Even the ones who were there is like 6+ years.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome. Loved holding that over their heads because I'm sure they'll let us know about gymnastics now that I bring up wrestling. They won't bring up like baseball or anything. They'll be like,
right.
But gymnastics. I'm like, you could bring up baseball. You went to the World Series.
We don't have a gymnastics team.
Yeah, right. You could bring up baseball. It's valid. Right. But anyways, with that being said. Baseball, we're up and down. We're iffy, you know, we're working on it.
Right.
And football's kind of like one of the major four sports is softball. I'll mention it in a second as well.
Right.
I'll get to golf. I'll get to equestrian. I'll get to whatever. But like the point being is that football is also like the mainstay of like, if you're an Oklahoma State fan, if you're really looking at the main revenue stream sports, baseball, it's probably somewhere around softball. And softball, honestly, we're killing it. We're top 10 in the country like every year. Kenny Gajewski's just absolutely killing it with recruits, with transfers, doing everything else possible to get us so close. We won the Big 12 last year in softball.
True, very true.
We beat the Titan juggernaut in OU to win our own conference. It was
right.
It's crazy. So without too much more tangents here to go on, we are going to talk through Oklahoma State, kind of the state of each sport here, of the revenue producers, but also just of the other kind of sports as well, too. Oklahoma State, if you're an Oklahoma State fan and have been for more than 5 minutes, you know our wrestling program is historic. You know our football program has had its ups and downs, but really turning upwards with Gundy over the past almost 20 years now.
Gosh, baseball, I'm old now.
Right? World at this point, yeah. But we're only 30. So baseball is trending, mm-hmm. kind of up and down year to year, but very slightly. It's just been going real well since we got honestly Coach Holiday. But it's not like we've won a bunch of things in baseball either. I'm not going, wow, I can't believe we won that. We've had great moments.
We've gotten great stints of being far along in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then football is the one where going into last season, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. After 3 games, it's like the sky's falling. Everyone in the world thought the sky was falling. And then, lo and behold, we end up in the Big 12 championship game with 10-plus wins again. So, that being said here, yeah, just kind of talk about basketball here. It's front of mind. No coach really right now that I'm in love with us getting that coach.
Oh yeah,
as our head coach. It seems like it's all doom and gloom. It's oh woe is me, whatever. When I think this is normally like the, well, hey, you got a first overall draft pick. You got a brand new coach, brand new slate, whatever. Let's go get at him. I'm kind of excited. I mean, why wouldn't you be excited about a new coach?
I will admit, I mean, for us, I hate to say this, but I feel like the recent coach was just kind of like a cover up for the Brad Underwood just immediately leaving us and just trying to cap us, make that salary cap work out while they're still figuring out his contract. We just take a risk on a new coach. You know, granted, he did not the best, but I'm sure it was his first time, you know, learning and everything like that. So it was a shot in the dark. Well, could we have extended it? Maybe. Could we have stopped it? Probably a couple of seasons ago. But I'm truly, honestly believing that it was pretty much just to cover how much we paid for Brad Underwood before he dipped us and head out. Because we made a huge thing for Brad.
We did. We really rolled out the red carpet for him. I mean, then when Illinois buys him out, we're stuck with the bag, basically. We were stuck with, okay, we have this guy, Kate Cunningham, who said he's coming to Oklahoma State with Brad Underwood. But now, is he still going to say that with Boynton? Okay, he is. Oh, dude, this guy could be a number one overall pick. We're at least keeping him until he comes. You know, I mean, no way Boynton was leaving until Cade comes, right? And then after Cade kind of comes and goes, and it's just crappy that all happened around COVID and still probably dealing with the repercussions and the sanctions, right, et cetera. I just don't think Boyd never had like 2 feet under him to kind of keep going. I think he's always dealing with some kind of catastrophe.
Especially the sanctions and the dealing with the NCAA. That probably took way too much time out of his day that he probably wants to admit. But he did handle himself well, but I can get his frustration as well, because as an OSU fan, you're just like, really? Why?
There's so many questions. The end of game stuff was driving me a little nuts. I mean, yeah, towards the end of Boynton. But with that being said, why wouldn't we be really excited for what's new coming on? I mean, as Oklahoma State fans, we kind of want to talk about like the last 5 years or so of each sport, go back, see where we're trending, see what we think is going to happen. When I'll say this, Oklahoma State basketball, I think we're still trending down. Now I will say this, I don't know how much more down we can go, because we still are, no matter what, if anyone's curious, we're a football school. Like we have Boone Pickens Stadium. We're renovating that every year. We're a football school. Like
now
for sure. But yeah. I mean, really until 2010, probably we were a basketball school. But in 2004, right, we won a Big 12 title in regular season in basketball, and that's the last year we won a Big 12 title. And we almost beat Texas in the Big 12 championship, but like that wouldn't have been a regular season. So with all being said, we kind of want to go through here. Do you happen to know, by chance, off the top of your head, who the leader in Oklahoma State history is in blocks?
In blocks? Ooh. Not off the top of my head. I would assume it's probably somebody from the Final Four team.
No? Reason I'm asking is because it was in 2019.
When really?
Was head coach. Yeah.
I am shocked by that.
Leader in single games and percentages overall, like percentage per game and in a single game. I mean, this guy almost had 10 blocks in two separate times within the same season. Any guesses? You're a nay.
Really?
So, I mean, you know, going back through and looking up stuff, being like, oh man, how did those years go? Good.
Yeah.
You know, how what was the guy in the bright spots? Well, Yorne had led the team in blocks. One guy's name who does not appear on this at all whatsoever of like top like turnovers even and rebounds, you know, 3-point field goals is Cade. I thought Cade would show up here. I mean, yeah, you got Juwan Evans with 42 points, but that's an Underwood guy.
Right.
In 2016. And then a lot of this, you do have Keaton Page just all throughout.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Keaton Page and Marcus Smart, I would assume, would be up there. I know Marcus doesn't have the tenure as Keaton, but, you know,
But for single game, Marcus has steals. Excuse me, he has nine steals in the game, which is
makes
insane,
sense.
Honestly.
Yeah.
So when we're looking through it, right, like, what are you going to think of the Boynton time at Oklahoma State as? Like talking kind of about the last 5 years. Like, is this right. going to be more about Cade, or is this going to be, you know, like?
I'm going to say for him, his legacy is going to be the sanction. I hate to say it, because that's pretty much what the biggest controversy and the most media that we saw of him. Yes, he was, I will admit, he did try to fight and try to get people into the stadium, which I really do appreciate that. It just, you know, overall that, like, it was just kind of lackluster. And to be honest, too, he also had to deal with the transfer portal on top of that. Like, yes, I know basketball already has an issue right now with one and dones because of the NBA and all that type of stuff. But then on top of that, you got to deal with transferring and all that type of stuff. So even if you try to keep a team all the way through senior year, that's like pretty much null and void nowadays, which, fun fact for you, I don't know if you saw this, but like the North Carolina team is the exact same age average wise, the starter five is the same age as the Thunder people, which I was just like, what? Because of, you know, it's just how basketball is. It's just pretty much, you know, ones and duns, and you sometimes get a senior group.
Or yeah, you have a guy like Max Asemus,
right,
who plays for Texas. Who I forgot was on the team for Texas but I think he's been there for a minute too. Cause the last time I remember him killing it was for Oral Roberts. I just don't know what year that was even. I mean,
he's been around for a while.
Well, one thing that I saw was very interesting. Stop to wrestling for a second is that Dayton Fix, Oklahoma State All American for 4+, maybe 5 years even. He had injuries. He also had a suspension. He had just wanted different stuff go on throughout his whole college career, right? He also had COVID years, etc. So he was on Oklahoma State's, I think he was an Oklahoma State student when I was still 2018. And he just finished his like year career.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking like, oh my gosh. And I think he's on the 2017 team. I mean, guys are staying so long. That's probably like the big, if there's an exception of like, okay, you have suspension for a year or something. That's going to help your case.
Injury, red shirts, all that fun stuff.
But yeah, it's just crazy how long guys can stay around now.
At least for me on basketball, at least for the next 5 years, all I can see is us going up. I know we're probably going to be probably bottom of the barrel next year and then probably go up from there. Potentially just depends on who they bring in. Like, you never know who they can bring in. But I know our athletic department usually likes to bring in somebody from like the Sutton era or been coached under the Sutton era tree or something along those lines. I sometimes wish we would break away from it, but I totally get it. Eddie Sutton is the legend. He made the court. He did everything for OSU and put us on the map. So I get why they want to still have that legacy, but also I feel like it's time to potentially break free from it.
Yeah. Well, I know Underwood was like had a tie in because he was like in this
correct
an AD or something at South Carolina around the same time somebody else was there.
Yes.
Or
I think he was more with his son, if I'm remembering correctly. I could be wrong.
Or something like that, right? So we've just got such a big tie in to like the Eddie Sutton era, the Eddie Sutton brand, the Eddie Sutton court.
Right.
Which has been so good to Oklahoma State for so long. It's not like we're trying to get away from it because it's bad. It's just we got to eventually do something different.
Times have changed too in basketball too. I believe like it's not as easy as, or I'm not going to say easy. It's not, the game is different. It's not as fast paced. It's kind of more slowed down. I feel like a little bit in general.
Yeah. It's just, it's not the same. College, there's a lot more times where I'm watching college basketball where I'm going, okay, wait, what am I watching? Like, what? Mm-hmm. That was a possession? Well, for example, when I watched Oregon versus Creighton, I was just appalled by how many times just a guy would go up, down, do one, two things. Like, plays were not being ran. You know what I mean? You just
it was almost NBA, almost.
Yeah.
Like, ice nose.
Well, and also, like, just the guys aren't that good. It's like you and I trying to play NBA basketball outside, but just so much faster. Like the speed is there, the athleticism is there, but the actual shot making is not, or the actual like touches. And yeah, I mean, just so much, just a little bit off, you know, I mean, just close. They're not like me running down to the street to go get the ball, but you know, they're like, you know, a little bit off. Right. So basketball, like what do you think we can, cause I don't think we can get more NIL. I just don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had Boynton, we had all the things. If people are sitting back and could be donating NIL money, I mean, where you been? I mean, is what I would say, right? Like right. for, and it seems like that for all sports, really. I mean, football and basketball and everything else. So I don't think there's NIL. I mm-hmm. think a new coach could really help out. That's what I'm excited for. But are there other things about basketball of like, hey, you know, we've got one of the greatest facilities in the country. We have to. I mean,
oh yeah,
it looks like it is.
I mean, our issue right now is I hate to say this, but basically once we won the BCS Bowl against Stanford in football, that's whenever I feel like that was a time period where it was started to transfer. All the fans went from basketball to football. That's roughly the time period where Gallagher Iba Arena hasn't been as full as it once was. Granted, it didn't help that our basketball teams weren't doing amazing every single year too. So, hopefully over time it will get better. Granted, I know, to be honest with you, basketball games are kind of also hard to go to if you don't bring the students in, which our student section is decent, let's not be wrong, but there's only like two main areas, which is right there on the court, but then the rest of the arena, not like, for example, Duke has that whole entire sideline, right? So it just feels empty because one, games are going to be like on Tuesday, Thursdays, you know, potentially.
But every team's got that issue.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, that's every true. School. I don't mean to cut you off. I don't know what, like, in basketball we could be doing a lot better at that we're not already trying to do.
Right.
I do understand the get a new coach. The coach goes to the fraternities and sororities and goes to campus halls and all type of, like, and like meets with students in the union, all type of stuff. Like, that's what Boynton did. He really, expressed interest to get the students on board and to get the students in the building. And this is like the first year where I'm like, oh my gosh, people did not go. And granted, we finished 12-20, people weren't going to go. So you bring a new coach, you bring in winning, people will go, right? Like they'll be excitement. They'll, okay, this guy brought in some recruit.
Could we potentially, now just throwing this out there, I don't know if this would be the coach or more on like behind the scenes type of thing, but like a new tradition. Because if you think about OSU basketball, is there a certain tradition that you can think of like right off the top of your head besides like maybe the spirit run? Besides that, there's not really like a new tradition, you know, like Kansas Jayhawks, they have the Raw Chaw Jayhawk, you know, which is phenomenal. Duke has their thing. North Carolina has their thing. I just feel like we don't have that traditional mark, if that makes sense, or something that will like stand out and make you like, oh, I got to stay till, you know, after halftime because we do X thing or something like that.
That's a really good idea. I think it's really easy for me to be like in a mode where I just shoot down every idea. Like I just is, you know, I mean, we've attended enough Oklahoma State sporting events where we can shoot down any idea for whatever we want to see. Yeah. Yeah. It's not like we couldn't come up with an idea to shoot it down. But at the same point, I think that could be something for sure. I mean, hey, you know what? Oh yeah. You know what? Let's stay in the football game until they sing, the Garth Brooks, Friends on the Places. Right. Yep. Like let's stay till then. Yeah, but I think doing something like that, you know, maybe trying to do that a little bit because, you know, if you're blowing somebody out and it's a Tuesday night, I mean, I'm going to study, right. You know, I mean, if it's a Friday night, I'm probably going to go do something else. So, yeah, right. I mean, you know, seriousness. So that's one way, but also just having the fans show up, you know what I mean? Like I think a new coach will do a lot with just people just wanting to come out to more games. Yeah, I mean, just like you, like people like you and I who are just like, hey, I'll drive up. Yeah, I'll see what the new coach is about. Like, I went to several games this year with my dad. I mean, I went to the closest game we played this year that we lost to OU. I think it was the closest, or at least tied for the closest. Just some other opponents I remember. But I also went to the KU game. Also, I think I went to like I went and like volunteered to work a couple games. I mean, like basketball is awesome. I just wish everyone a great, great deal of success with basketball. The one other note here before we kind of move on over to wrestling is, do you want to guess how many times Oklahoma State was ranked during the Boynton era? So how many weeks of all the time that Boynton was there? Or do you want to guess what 1 year it was that we had multiple rankings?
I would assume that we was only like, I honestly, this may sound awful, but I think it's like 4 weeks in the top 25. That's what my guess is.
You're right on the money there. Yep. 4 weeks all in 2021. We were ranked.
It's because we beat Kansas and we beat Texas, I believe, that year, like back to back.
I want to say it right. Yeah. With Cade too. Right. We were ranked, let's see, are these in order? They are. So we were ranked 12th, 15th, 16th, and then 17th right before March Madness came out.
Because we were starting to lose. We lost that momentum that we had because we started. Because that was our thing. I feel like this has been a common thing, and I'm going to just double check too. But I feel like our streak getting close to like the tournaments, both Big 12 and March Madness, we were on like a 5-game losing streak, if not more. Like this year, we ended out with a 6-game losing streak. So I'm going to just double check.
We ended with a big losing streak.
They've not been great. Let's just say the only one that was really good technically was 2022. But I think we were still sanctioned that year, so that's probably the reason why we still have that good.
Not this year, but last year, multiple people said we should have made the tournament. We were the last four teams out, basically. We finished 20-16, which weirdly enough it's almost the same as 2016-2017. Mm-hmm. When we went with Underwood to, and I think we were ranked 10th seed that year. We played Michigan as a 7th seed. We're 20-13 that year. So the difference is we just played less games. That's math. So that's my definition for everything now. But it just, basketball is weird. We were ranked also just to kind of, we were ranked several times under the Travis Ford era, but we also went to the tournament more than once. You go to the tournament once, you're probably gonna be ranked that year at some point.
Right.
Not necessarily for sure. Like we weren't ranked the year we went to the tournament with Underwood, but we were ranked AP high and low and preseason, all type of stuff. We were ranked three years under Ford, and we went to the tournament 5 years out of the whole 1, 2. Yeah, out of the 8 years with Ford, we went to the tournament 5 times.
All right.
Boy, we went 1-7. So, I mean, there's some room. There's room for growth.
Right. We just need to make it into the tournament, and I feel like that will just help bring in people. That's another thing. We just got to make it.
Yeah.
Got to go on a ring.
We got to make it. We got to do something. All right. Well, talking a little bit about wrestling now, too, as well.
Yes.
So, it's great on the Big 12 website. You can look up and see how many regular season and postseason awards your school has, if you're a Big 12 fan at least, and figure it out. So right now,
good luck. Yeah. It's very confusing. We were looking at this for like 20 minutes, I feel like, beforehand, and we were like, "What is going on here?"
Several times. Oklahoma State has 2 regular season Big 12 wrestling titles. Seems off.
Way off, but.
But this is since 97, so also seems off. Like, I just don't. Like, there's some years that were skipped. For example, wrestling, this is from 97 to 2011, and then 2014 to present. So there were 3 years skipped, is what we're saying. 12, 13, and actually just 2 years. 12, 13. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, but wrestling overall in postseason, we have 19. So that seems much more likely.
Yes.
And just there wasn't a regular season title for quite some time, then we're not able to figure that out. Well, that being said, we didn't win it this year. We have always heard rumors, at least I know I have, that a new wrestling facility will be built at some point soon.
Right.
Right. So what do you think we could do in wrestling? Like, are we on that? Are we going downhill in wrestling, or are we turning up? What are we at on wrestling?
I mean, to be honest with you, I feel like we're going to be about the same for, I mean, like, I, let me rephrase this. Wrestling has always been like, let's just say a top 10 school every single year. I still feel like we're going to be a top 10 school every single year, probably some more years here and there to be, you know, top five and everything like that, trying to win national championships and at least individual or not. John Smith has, you know, everything down as long as he stays. That's the biggest thing, is making sure that he stays. Because I feel like if he moves, I feel like, yeah, probably still people wanting to take this job. But as long as John Smith's around, I think we're good just because of like how well he can coach. Granted, I know every single time you can have some off years and whatnot. So I know that is possible. So it's just going to be, I feel like, up and coming. Probably we may struggle a little bit, but then we'll get back into that routine of at least being top 10, winning titles and that type of stuff. We just have such a historical seasons of like, we've got to win, we got to dominate, even in the NCAA championship. So it's just one of those that, like, I feel like I'm good with. I don't feel worried about, and I feel like it's going to be in the middle of the road. If they get a new facility, that may raise the bar a little bit and bring in more talent, you know. I mean, because technically, yeah, we have the Wrestling Hall of Fame, you know, right next door to Gallagher Iba Arena. Speaking of, have you ever been there? It's really interesting. And
yeah, it's cool.
It's cool, it's, you know, cool. It's
national,
nothing,
it's
crazy.
National Wrestling Hall of Fame. It's in Stillwater, yeah. Oklahoma. I mean, the things we have going for wrestling is the state of Oklahoma wrestles. Like, there's a wrestling championship in the state. There's other states that don't have the same going necessarily at the same levels. So in-state, like, recruitment is pretty easy. I mean, also it's kind of, I'd say easy to get to guys, you know, and go recruit him. I wouldn't say necessarily easy for us to get the best, because Penn State's been winning this whole thing for a while. Granted, they're not the Big 12. But like, Iowa State this year won in the Big 12. I'm like, okay, cool. We've won this thing 19 times since 97.
Right.
Like, when's that? When's 20? When are we hitting, you know, when are we putting the two in front of there? Right. Like, and that's kind of the question here of, okay, so now we're only expanding. We're only adding schools. I honestly, Arizona State, no idea how the wrestling programs are, if they have ones. Colorado, Utah, also no idea. But, I mean, UCF, and I mean,
apparently, according to this Wikipedia, I could be 1,000% wrong. The only real competition technically would be Iowa State, as of right now, at least for the Big 12. But I don't even know. I feel like we're still going to be one or two in the Big 12 at least. So I'm sure it's going to happen over time at some point. And this is like the one area I'm not worried about with OSU athletics is our wrestling team, because it's just how well we are in some way, shape, or form.
I mean, and that's really fair. I think our wrestling program will be back, but I don't think we'll ever be as dominant as we once were. For the same reason, I don't think the Boston Celtics will be as dominant as they ever were, winning multiple championships, and like UCLA winning basketball for like 10 years in a row. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, they had a guy named Kareem Abdul-Jabbar who played for them, or Lou Alcindor, who was really good, but he still only was there for the years, for my understanding, maybe even less. So there's still a lot more years they won it all. You know, I mean, like, I just don't think we'll see dominance like that. I mean, Alabama football is kind of the last kind of true dominance I think we'll see in college sports, just because honestly, all this NIL stuff just keeps changing. So what, you know, whoever's learning the rules and the way to get around them the best, the fastest, that's who's going to win. That's who's going to prevail. And that because it's all changing all the time, that'll change as well. All right. Well, all right. Well, then I think we got to talk about football a little bit too, right? So football, I mean, this is us. Like football, like we got this. Since 2019, we have finished either fourth. Well, there's one year we finished fifth. We have finished really high in Big 12 football. We finished fourth in 2019. In 2020, we finished third. In 2021, we finished Number one, numero uno in regular season standings, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Grant, we know how that ended. 2022, fifth. We were 7-6 overall, like, you know, 4-5 in conference. And then basically last year, you know, second. So, because we won the tiebreaker over OU, of course. Go Pokes. So, with that being said, how do you think football's doing? I mean, I know we're not getting, like, the best recruits ever, but we it's not like that's been our MO.
I feel like we're going to be, once again, with the current staffing that I've seen and what Gundy's been doing over the years, I feel like we're always going to be just good enough, but not excellent. We've always, I feel like over the years, we've always played to the opponent. Or if we get like a huge win, like for example, we got a huge win against OU, and then the next week, UCFF just absolutely crushed us. So it's just like, I feel like we always play to the opponent. And unless we change our mindset somehow, some way, I feel like we're always going to be like that average team that will at least show up for like the big games, but those little games we don't care about, I feel like. And that's just like, I feel like it has been a constant trend. And like, yes, I'm glad we're making it to those championship games. Are they heartbreaking? Of course. But I mean, we're always at least in contention, which is nice. But I do hate sometimes like you're like 3 weeks out and then they have to like give you a flow chart of like, how in the world are we going to get into the championship game? And there's like five different options. So I feel like, I hate to say this, but we should be dominant. We should be absolutely dominant, at least in the Big 12. At least 2 years ago, whenever OU was technically rebuilding, we should have been like number one overall, no questions asked, but you know how things played out.
We're 12-2, and then we won the Fiesta Bowl. So that, I mean, that was the year, but I'm with you. Like we beat OU that year, like, screw y'all, whatever. But then the next year, you know, we just don't, we don't seem to capitalize on those situations. And also in the big games, I think we just tend to fall flat for whatever reasons. Like the,
oh yeah.
Well, or, I mean, or just have the big letdown after the big game.
And now either with way. The whole NIL and everybody sitting out and transferring and all this type of stuff, bowl games are pointless. Let's be honest there. So unless you're in the championship game, and even then, like the whole entire team of Washington's gone already. So it's just like mind blowing.
Well, I do think there are two things for football that really help us out as Oklahoma State fans.
Mm-hmm.
One, OU's leaving. See ya. Yeah. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. That was the one team Gundy just did not have the winning record against in the Big 12. Since Gundy has been a Big 12 head coach, he has a winning record against every single school in the Big 12, except for UCF. So
technically, because this is their first year.
Yeah. So got to call like it is. But every other team, unless we haven't played them yet, because they're Utah, Colorado, Arizona State, but we still think we might even have it over Arizona, Arizona State. So with that being said, we're trending like great in football, but I think that helps us out a lot. OU's leaving. See ya. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. We'll see if you're better than a mediocre SEC program, because we saw what happened to A&M when they went to the big, when they went from the Big 12 to the SEC.
Right. More, I mean, relevant. Texas did prove themselves though. Let's Texas, be honest. Last
UT?
Year.
Yeah. I mean, but like,
it wasn't the best Alabama team that they could have faced, of course, but they did beat them.
They got 1 year. Yeah. Texas beat Alabama. But anyways, we'll see how it all works out. Yeah, I mean, it'll be really interesting. But the other thing I think it's helping out a lot, too, is that it's the playoffs have expanded. Right now, it's at 12 teams, and seems like it might even go up to 14. And for a Big 12 school, it's hard for me to imagine a Big 12 school not Big 12 not having at least two teams in every single year. I mean, if you're going to have the Big 10 and SEC have, like, minimum two, then the Big 12's got to at least have two, right? Like, two may be the max, but it's going to be always two, you would think. Now, I'm sure there's some years where the Big 12 team, only one Big 12 team is finishing the top 14, but that seems tough, too, honestly. Now, you're going to have some at-larges in there, probably an automatic qualifier for an at-large, automatic qualifier for winner every single conference. I mean, so funny stuff could have happened, like, 2 years ago when K-State beat TCU. Mm-hmm. In the Big 12 championships, so they would have had the automatic qualifier. TCU would not have, but TCU wouldn't play the national championship, and they ended up being the top four in the country, and they beat Michigan to get to the national championship. So they lost Georgia, but it was what it was. So I think that helps out Oklahoma State a lot too. Like, as an Oklahoma State fan, will I be truly happy when we win a national championship? Yes. But also,
we have one.
true. But also, I'll know that's kind of like the one. Yeah, you know, because it doesn't have to be fluky, but it has to be kind of like that TCU year that they got all the way. You know, right. They had Max Duggan, who's not a first round draft quarterback. You know, I mean, and maybe it'll happen differently. Maybe it happens this year with Ollie Gordon, who is a first round draftable quarterback in my mind. Mm-hmm. But football, I feel the best about.
Football, I feel good. But of course, it's just, I see the potential of our teams. I just want them to be better, if that makes sense. Because we do have, on paper at least, we should be dominating at least last year. We should have dominated, but it is what it is. And I'm glad Ollie at least, you know, took the team literally on his back and asked Gundy, and Gundy let him do that. So I'm hopeful. But I've always, you know, questioned some of our offensive plays because I feel like it's usually roughly, let's be honest with you, over the past 5 years, it's either a draw up the middle or a fake and then just, you know, bomb it 20 yards.
Yeah, there's a lot on the offensive side that I wish could be better. Yep. I think injuries played a big part of last year. Receivers getting injured just didn't help, but it did help out having Ollie Gordon, that's for sure.
Yep.
Ollie Gordon had under 10 touches in that South Alabama game. Always will be a weird thing to bring up. Just will never not be, you know, a weird thing. But on the other side of this here is that to get Alan Bowman coming back, we know what we know what he looks like. Because I'm big in, like, the recency bias. So if you look since 2019, it's been since Spencer Sanders. Like, that was our guy. He just was not healthy enough all the way down the stretch of every year. And, you know, and it just get dinged up. But maybe he wasn't going to still play. Like, whatever. So then we got Bowman last year. Once it gets close
eventually,
to the end of the season,
eventually.
Yeah. We got him for the final 9 games for sure. And then the first 3, we kind of got him for a little bit. Peaks in.
Well, I wish we know. Like, I get what he was trying to do, but I also feel like we should have at least just stuck with somebody for a whole game and not do like a 3 quarterback trying to figure out who's the best. You know, I feel like that hurt us at least in the beginning, trying to be good that season.
If people listen to the Bill Simmons podcast, there's conspiracy Bill. I'm going to be conspiracy Cal here for a second. Okay.
Go for it.
If I wanted my son to be able to play college D1 football, I would have Alan Bowman and Gunnar Gundy and Garrett Rangel all on the same roster. And I wouldn't have gotten another guy. I wouldn't have said, Gunnar, you're a walk-on, technically speaking. He's not taking a scholarship. I mean, his dad's getting paid like $7+ million a year, so he's not taking a scholarship. But I would have said, hey, it's been great. We got to go get a transfer quarterback. Now, we did go get Alan Bowman and probably promised him the opportunity, keyword here, to start. He didn't have that chance at Michigan. So, we didn't know what we were getting. We didn't know if it was going to be good, bad, whatever. So, Conspiracy Cal is like, okay, we had to see if he could hold up because he's an older guy. He's gotten injured quite a bit. I mean, that's why he didn't finish his career out at Tech. He got injured and another guy came in, did better, and then he left. He transferred out.
Right.
So, then you also got Garrett Rangel, who has not looked great really any instance we've had him. And then you've got one other guy here, I haven't mentioned, Zane Flores, and you're not going to burn his red shirt. You're just not going to burn his red shirt unless he's like the second coming, which he might even be, and we still weren't going to burn his red shirt. He's just really young. The offensive line was not proven either way. But from Conspiracy Cal, it's like, hey, the one way you could play Gunnar Gundy as Coach Gundy, if you're Coach Gundy, the one way you could see if Gunnar Gundy's good or not, and like, and really not be known as the guy who's playing his son or anything like that, is in this situation where it's like, hey, let's rotate all 3. Right. So you're just like, hey, no, Gunner's getting the second game, Bowman's getting the third, Rangel's getting the first, or whatever you want to say. That's just the second that Gunner doesn't do something well in his game, people are going to be like, oh, put in the other guy who started the week before, after, you know, before him, right, or the other guy we've seen play football before. I mean, we had seen Bowman play in Boombeggin Stadium before, just for Tech, and seeing him kill us. So people, no matter what, he was going to get, hey, stop that. Stop get your son out, right? Mm-hmm. That was the one way of getting your son to get him a chance and also not get him a super short rope when he has a chance is like if you play him in spurts. Yeah, because there wouldn't be long enough. No guy was in long enough where it was like, oh, dude, what was that? Get him out.
Right.
But each guy was in long enough where you're like, maybe if he gets a little bit more time.
I definitely felt that.
You know, right. that was kind of, and then it was like, all right, the Iowa State game killed me. Because that was like the game where it's like, if Bowman just had the same, was on the same page as the receivers, we would be set. But
I also feel like Gunner did pretty well because he technically did win one of those games and the team did react a little bit better. So I was a little shocked, one, that he did transfer, and two, they didn't pick him, because I thought at first they were going to pick him.
Well, just to be clear, I got somebody got me with the whole Gunner transferring to Alabama. Somebody got me. Like, that is not true. Gunner is still in the portal for my
show. Oh, I thought he went to a small Christian school.
Maybe he did, and I missed it, I thought it was rumored of an Eastern Michigan or something, but right now, or Ohio, but right now he re-entered the transfer portal on January 24th.
Oh, yeah, he did.
And that is just what we're still rolling with. He committed on January 5th to Ohio, and then... I don't know. Then on the 24th, somebody wrote that he ran into the portal. So I'm going to say he ran into the portal, just to be clear.
He had an offer from Eastern Michigan. That's the one I remember. But I guess he said no to that.
Interesting choice here, though, I will say, is that his profile photo on Twitter/X is of him in Oklahoma State uniform. His header photo, which is like the background photo you have, is of Aaron Rodgers. And a Green Bay Packers beanie. So it's not a Packers. It's not, you know. And the last tweet Gunner put out is thankful to receive an offer from Ohio University on December 29th.
And then he re-enlisted and had another offer from Eastern Michigan. So,
and he's got an offer from Indiana State apparently, and also Elon University, and
basically no big schools.
Abilene Christian University and EMU, Eastern Michigan University. Duquesne. So I could keep going here, but I think we understand. He's had offers, but that was the way to play Gunner. I don't know why I went on a whole 5-minute long tangent about that. So thanks so much for listening. But yeah, I think that's the way Gunner could have played with actually giving him a chance to start and play games for Oklahoma State, because because in my mind, you're just not gonna be able to play him like a game, or, you know, you can play him like a half, you can play him like a quarter, unless he just goes out there and balls out, you know, I mean, because we had seen it. We had also seen him like the year before play. I want to say it was against Iowa State, and Spencer Sanders came in for like one drive and we ended up like, or he came in for like two drives. One drive he came in, I think it stalled or he threw an interception. The next drive he comes in, we score a touchdown, we win the game. That's kind of it. So there had been past history of, and also the name on the back of your jersey hurts you if you're Gunner Gundy.
That is very true.
It helps, like, the Sanders kids for Colorado, it helps them because he came in with them, and they also were, like, 5-star guys or multiple stars or a star or whatever. Gunner was not. So, he did win, like, I think he won state championship for Stillwater High School and was, like, 12-0 and just still killing it, but it just didn't have the same, doesn't have the same stuff behind it, right? So... anyways, getting back to football a little bit here. I think we're only turning it up, and in a good way. I see only bright shining stars ahead of us here. The one or two things I'm really worried about that I'll ask you what your thoughts are here, which would be a more pointed question, is do you think we get a new offensive coordinator anytime soon? And if so, what do you think the reason is? Do you think it's because our offensive coordinator gets hired by another team? Or do you think it's because we don't have as good of a year as we think we should have and we need to get a new offensive coordinator?
I'm going to say the latter, because I feel like that's what's going to happen, is we probably have this expectation. I don't know exactly what we're going to be ranked yet, because has it come out yet? Or like the preseason? No. But I have a feeling we're going to be like, what, let's be honest, we're probably going to be in the top 20, probably. I feel like. Would you say? Top 20, yeah, maybe?
I think there's a strong possibility.
So, you know, I have a feeling we're going to be in the top 20, and I have this sinking feeling if we keep calling, like, the same plays that we normally do, I have a feeling we're not going to be in the top 20. Like, overall goal, like, in the next 5 years, I would love us to make it into a championship game, or at least into that bracket, I guess you could say, playoff game. But as of right now, I do feel like if anything's going to happen, we won't do very well for some reason because, you know, we play to our teams, and then we probably will fire. That's my thing, is we're firing our offensive coordinator. Granted, I've said that in the past with certain offensive coordinators that I absolutely hated, and we never fired them. They went on to another job. So,
well, in case you're curious, I looked up the ESPN preseason rankings. The way too early top 25 for 2024.
Way too early.
Yeah, way too early with, like, actually with a normal amount of spelling. but they've got a couple of notable teams ahead of us that I didn't think. We are in the top 20. We're number 18, Oklahoma State. But they've got Arizona, who's joined the Big 12 this year, of course, as number nine in the country.
They were pretty good, and as long as they keep their team, they're going to be pretty.
I just didn't think they were that good. I mean, they did beat OU in the Alamo Bowl pretty handedly, but I didn't think OU cared. So maybe they
didn't.
Maybe ESPN knows something I don't. Maybe OU did care.
When was this published, by the way? Do you know?
Wait, hang on a second. Yes, I do, but I will. They have Utah at 13.
I'm shocked by that. Okay.
But I've heard, Utah might win the conference. Like, so yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of there. OU at 15, not in the Big 12 anymore. They also lost their starting quarterback, but whatever.
They'll get a new one. They have
that Jackson Arnold guy who they love, right. Who even though he threw a bunch of interceptions in the bowl game, they still love him, which we'll see what happens. And honestly, we will be watching OU. Like, they are around us. Every friend we had, we always have that friend from high school. We grew up in Oklahoma City. We will be watching OU. We will report on when OU does bad. We will not talk about it when OU does good, because we would not talk about OU doing good. That's just part of this podcast. Welcome to Oklahoma State Sports. Anyways, with that being said, we are 18th in the country, and here's who we lost. Xavier Benson, defensive end Anthony Goodlow, tight end Josiah Johnson, wide receiver Leon Johnson III, the guy transferred here from, like, I mean, a no-name school, but then burned his red shirt, playing a couple of games down the stretch because we had guys injured. Nathan Latu, defensive end, and wide receiver Jaden Bray, who I don't remember too much, honestly.
I don't remember him too much either. He's not, I think he was probably like a backup.
Yeah, I think you're right. But also, I remember hearing him when he came, but not then when he was here. It was like, what?
Right.
I mean, it's kind of some of the guys we've had just around. It's like, we heard a lot about this recruit, and then all of a sudden it just did not pan out. And I always think it's off the field stuff, or just didn't get along with the coach well enough, or didn't take their advice. So it didn't see much more playing time for probably the right reasons. And then expected key additions here. So we had some transfers in. We had a running back transfer in named Rodney Fields, who, I mean, check out the highlight film, you know, good stuff here. And then we also had a linebacker, a safety, an offensive line, and another safety all transfer in, and a tight end transfer in too. So we also return all five offensive linemen, our leading receiver, Brennan Presley, another great receiver for us, Rashad Owens, which if you watch the bowl game, Owens comes up big. He can bring the ball down. And then, of course, starting quarterback, Alan Bowman. So what are you thinking? You think we win the Big 12 this year? Why not?
Do we play Arizona this year? I think we do. We do not.
We do not.
Oh, well, then. Well, I feel like we'll have a contention for regular season, but I don't know about the overall championship, because I feel like Arizona would be in the championship.
I feel like they would be too. And to answer your question, when the article was written, January 8th. So it's been more than 2 months. I mean, stuff has happened since then, but not like, honestly, in college football, nothing groundbreaking since the national championship game has really happened. And also, it's clearly been updated multiple times since then because of the portal, transfer portal stuff, too, since June 8th. So
we haven't gotten anything crazy.
Well, what I mean, honestly, Rodney.
Right.
Looking great. Looking great. We'll check out the film. And we don't need a running back. So that's a huge added bonus. Hey, we all of a sudden it gets down to those final couple, basically, you know, couple minutes of a game where we just kind of really got to get that guy going and kind of basically we need to sit Ollie Gordon is what I'm getting at because we're up enough. Hey, we're playing Rodney Fields, class of 2024 running back out of Southeast High School in Oklahoma City. So props. So, you know, I mean, that's just kind of, it's kind of one of those things. What, I mean, do you think we're, if you're putting your money on it, do you think we're playing the Big 12 championship or we're winning the Big 12 championship next year?
I would say we're at least playing in it. And then it just depends on who we're playing against. Cause there's always those certain matchups where we just don't show up. So I think if we're playing against Arizona, that's probably going to be our biggest threat. As of right now, of course, things can change between here and there. And it also kind of depends on what Deion Sanders does with Colorado, because I feel like he wants to do really, really well. And, you know, obviously, yes, he kind of turned Colorado around, but he wants to do even better than that because, you know, I know last year was way too hype on him. So I feel like this year he could probably not have as many spotlights on him and he could potentially do very well in the Big 12.
He could. Now, one thing I'll say, we do play Colorado this year. It's our last game of our season. It's actually at Colorado on a Friday, weirdly enough.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. I mean, that's, and honestly, I'm all for Friday games. They're a lot of fun last year. So why not bring them back? We do not play Arizona in the regular season, but we do play Utah in the regular season. Now we play them at home. We play them early in the season, so September 21st, I think we'll both be finding ourselves either sitting in front of a TV or sitting in Boone Pickens Stadium watching, more than likely, our Oklahoma State Cowboys play against the Utah Utes, unless something absolutely bizarre happens. So, got there. The other tough part here, though, is like our non-con, we do have Arkansas on schedule this year. They're an SEC team. They're not a rollover. Mm-hmm. They're not ranked or anything that I know of. I'm not sure how they're supposed to do. This is not a football deep dive here with the college football, you know, season kind of preview will happen. But we do have a couple other ones here that I just want to go through that might be tougher. We got to go to K-State. Never easy playing there. And also they are coached real well. Got to go to BYU, which we struggled so much last year with beating BYU at the very end. I know we were dinged up and not too healthy, but I don't think they were too healthy. It's in the season, yada, yada. So that's not too much fun. And then we also got to go to TCU. And like you said, with Colorado, they were the most hyped foreign whatever team in the nation. You know what I mean? I've seen, I cannot tell you how many times on my like YouTube for you or trending page, whatever. It's the most hyped team ever, the most overrated, the most, you know, the most, what does this man do? It's like, okay, we get it. Deion Sanders didn't do that great in his first year at Colorado. But for the people who thought he would,
he got 4 wins for Colorado. Let's talk about that.
That's double what they had a couple years before, you know, and not too long ago, they weren't winning games. So now they do have a Heisman Trophy winner, which everyone forgets about. Colorado does have a football program. They did win a national championship on a fifth down, but still, Colorado's not a bad team. This is my point. Like they will be good. They will be halfway decent. Now I do like the fact that we're not playing them earlier in the season. Because last year, if we all remember, Colorado, it was crazy. They beat Colorado State. It's like, holy cow, what in the world happened? But then it was like, okay, well, you're Colorado. Like, you know, I mean, everything came back to earth a little bit more. There was understanding. I mean,
they did have close games. Let's be honest. They did have close games, at least at the beginning of the year. Granted, later on, whenever they were getting blown out, that was a different story. But at least in the beginning, they were, you know, relatively, you know, in those games and everybody was not expecting it for sure. So,
well, they have Travis Hunter, 5-star. They have, I think, Shiloh Sanders. I always mix this up. There's two different Sanders brothers, but I think it's Shiloh is the one who could be a top quarterback picked in the NFL draft. And they also have Travis Hunter, who, if you don't know who that guy is, I'd look him up too. Plays both sides of the ball, corner and wide receiver. You just might have forgotten about him because Carter didn't do that great down the stretch, like Trey said. So, with that being said here, I mean, Colorado will be tough. And honestly, the Big 12 season will not always be easy, but we should be kind of going back to what you said not too long ago. We should be winning the Big 12. This should be like our time to win the whole thing. You know, you would think like, okay, Oklahoma State fan, I'm going to lock in. We're going to win this whole ship. And it's like, oh, wait.
Nope. There's always those.
It's always games. That Spencer Sanders injury or that goal line dive where we just don't. My dad told me several times, and I totally agree with him too. We don't take our running back into their corner in the end zone. Instead, we dive at the pylon.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? But anyways, I mean, Colorado, they beat Arizona State by 3. And then in double overtime, they knocked off Colorado State last year. And they also beat Nebraska. So, like, the real one they won last year is they beat TCU.
TCU.
At the time was 17th, and it was at TCU. But we know how that TCU season ended.
Not very well.
I think everyone got a little bamboozled. TCU had multiple players drafted.
It was just because they won that title or got in the title the previous year. So
yeah. So it is what it is, you know. So I think then we feel pretty good on football. Let's leave last 2 minutes. Just 2 minute warning here. Woo. I got baseball. Baseball real quick here. Not the greatest. We've done better.
We've done better, but I feel like we're going to be in middle of the pack on this one. We're always going to be middle of the pack, I feel like. But we do have a new facility, so that may bring in recruits. That's my biggest thing.
That would be awesome.
Have you seen the new facility? It's like phenomenal.
Oh, I went to a game last Friday.
Oh, okay.
Whenever you want to go. I'm down to go. That was a 1-0 loss to TCU. It was cold. It was windy. It didn't feel great. They have a policy now at baseball where if after the sixth inning, if you have a GA ticket, you can sit wherever if the seat's not taken, wherever you want to. Now you can't go into the club or anything, but you can sit wherever is open in the seating bowl. So Luke and I were sitting front row, right next to the TCU dugout, talking up whatever weird spray things they put on their hands now and rub bats down with. I mean, it's all legal. I'm not trying to get anything on TCU. I'm just saying like, we just didn't know, like, I'm not hanging around college baseball players and seeing what they're doing to their equipment all the time. So it was interesting from that. But baseball stadium, incredible. Holiday. We got Matt.
Yeah.
We got Robin Ventura. And we also got, of course, Josh at the helm. So I feel like we're doing pretty darn good there. And to your point, I do think we will get only better at baseball year over year. We won national championship in 1959, we've had some of the most historic, like, players ever. I mean, ever. Mm-hmm. We have the history. If you're going by year coaching results, though, this would be kind of like the understanding of, okay, how are we doing? Josh Holiday, do you want to guess what year he was first became a coach at Oklahoma State?
Was it 17?
No, you were a student. Trey Florence.
Oh, wow.
I know you graduated 2016, but you were a student. Additional on the quizzes. I'll answer myself here. 2013 was his first year.
Really? I thought it was... Wow.
Yeah.
Shows you how much I paid attention.
And in 2014, won the Big 12 regular season championship and also hosted a Super Regional. Then...
I remember the Super Regional.
Yep, and then 2017, won the Big 12 tournament. 2019, won the Big 12 tournament. Weirdly, in Oklahoma City Regional. Not sure why. 2020.
They played in Bricktown, that's why.
But it could have been Stillwater hosted, but I guess that year it wasn't. Right. It was just Oklahoma City, because I think it was the stadium at that point. They said no to LAP, I'm not sure. 2020, COVID. And then, you know, last year we're coming off a regular season champion, which I think contradicts something earlier I said on the podcast. So we feel pretty good on baseball. Like, we're doing all right. Like, no matter what, Josh Holiday should be the coach.
Right.
All right. So then we just want to pump up some last minute here. Just want to pump up softball for a minute. I mean, like, softball. There's a Goliath, and there's one Goliath in softball. OU. Unfortunately, they're 90 miles south of Stillwater. And they are really, really good at softball. Like, no one is taking that from them. They're also really good at gymnastics. But it's not an OU hate podcast. It's an OSU love podcast. So I want to talk more about us. We historically have not been doing this good at softball in quite some time. And now we are doing incredibly good at softball.
Oh, yeah. And it's a nice change.
There's rumors of a new... We talked about rumors of a new OSU facility for wrestling. Also some rumors about a new facility for softball. Taking over Allie P is old. Stomping grounds, you know?
It needs it, that's for sure.
Softball, like when it was... When we were doing our intern stuff there, which ended in 2018 for me and 2016 for you, it didn't seem bad at the time.
It wasn't bad, but now
it's small. Like there were not. It didn't seem like now it's like, oh yeah, this is a small. But at the time, it didn't really seem small under the previous head coach, and then under the new head coach. Granted, like the bet on Kenny Gajewski. Has really paid off.
Really paid off. I do like the fact that now we're at least making it to potentially the World Series, because that's nice, because it's just right down the road from us, you know? And finally actually having like a true team to root for.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Kenny Gajewski, he has, I guess since 2021, he's won 143 games. Fourth nationally behind only OU, Florida State, and UCLA.
Powerhouse teams.
And, Oklahoma State has had a final national rankings of number 6 or better in 4 of the last 5 seasons, with the lone exception, COVID.
Yep.
So, Gajewski's killing it. So, there's a bunch more stuff you can read on Oklahoma State's website about him. I just went over brief kind of notes here. Gajewski inherited the program in 2016. So, yeah. Crushing it ever since. With the only real exception of just not being OU. Like, I mean, it's just so hard to beat the other in-state team. But, yeah, in 2013 through 15, he was assistant coach at Florida, and then 2016, he comes to OSU. The only place I could think Gajewski would go to and leave Oklahoma State for is Florida State. It's Florida or State of Florida. Like, it's another Florida school calls in the State of Florida. That's, basically Florida State, right? Like,
maybe Washington, too, because that's usually a pretty well softball UCLA. School.
Yeah, but like, UCLA. But, like, to be honest,
it's got to be higher.
I think it's Oklahoma State or bust. Unless it's like Florida where he initially coached at, or I believe I think this is all past tense. He did own 3 different Norman based companies. So like I could see like OU calls.
Yeah.
Would I blame him? Not in the softball world, no.
No, but I mean, let's be honest, they're not going to get rid of their softball coach anytime soon either. No. So
Patty Gazzo is the coach for life. I don't think she's ever leaving. Yeah. I know her name, and I just don't follow softball that much. I should. but yeah, I guess, literally, if I just read like one line up here, Gajewski is coached alongside coaches in Florida. Prior to there, he was at Tennessee. His roots trace back to the University of Oklahoma. He played for Sooner Baseball in 94 that won a national championship. So, yeah, OU calls, he's probably gone. Honestly, if OU is trying to call somebody, they probably, of all the people to call, they probably are calling Gajewski.
It makes sense.
But anyways, you know what? Trey, been great catching up. Great talking about Oklahoma State sports.
Good times.
What's your biggest takeaway from this podcast?
Biggest takeaway, I foresee everything at least roughly right now going upwards. That's my vibe, is everything's going upwards. We may have a little struggles the next year, but everything, future tense, we're going upwards.
Football going up, baseball going up, hard not to.
Basketball has to.
New head coach, new life, new fresh face on the program here at some point soon. Hopefully it doesn't happen before I put the podcast out, actually. So we don't sound like idiots. And then also wrestling. Seemingly mm-hmm. going up. Seemingly, like, maybe stale. Maybe a little stale. But maybe on the way back. Even the way back.